From the Farm Credit Studios, this is On the Farm Radio. Rural and agricultural news coming up next.
John, what are you doing with all that rock?
I'm trying to show dairy producers that feeding a rock-based supplement actually costs money and takes up space in the ration.
John, all you have to do is tell them about Kalmin, C-A-L-M-I-N. It's natural from the sea, and research has shown the magnesium to be 4 times as available as local cheap rock products. And I haven't even talked about its superior buffering or available calcium.
True enough. Ask for Kalmin, C-A-L-M-I-N. And put it in the ration today. Give us a call at 1-866-737-6273. Find us on the web at feedworksusa.com.
You're listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
Well, Wednesday of next week is the first day of April. And after April comes May and then June. And before you know it, we're going to be knee-deep in mosquito season. Yeah, we've got a special report on that topic from Rod Bain at the USDA.
When it comes to control of mosquito populations, whether it is a municipal entity or a private homeowner, Penn State University Extension's Jamie Kopko explains.
We simply do not have the technology to completely wipe out mosquitoes. What they accomplish is a reduction. It's not an elimination of mosquitoes.
So what might mosquito control look like in light of warmer days ahead? And in turn, the return of mosquito populations. Kopko says municipalities take what he calls a systematic approach.
Typically, they'll have sort of set sampling points kind of all around the territory that they're in charge of taking care of, where they might have light traps up to collect adult mosquitoes. They might be sampling water bodies to check for mosquito larvae. In some cases, for monitoring for mosquito-borne diseases, they'll have what are called sentinel chickens. It's basically little chicken coops, and they'll periodically do blood draws from the chickens and check for West Nile virus and other mosquito-borne diseases. And they do this just routine, continuous surveillance.
Many public and private pest control entities have working knowledge of areas. For instance, how many mosquitoes in a trap within a set period of time triggers a spray treatment to reduce populations.
But even with all of that systematic monitoring, they're also very responsive. If they get a bunch of calls from people in a neighborhood saying, hey, we're getting overwhelmed with mosquito bites, you got to do something about this, then typically they will investigate the matter further and, if needed, go out and do a spray.
Mosquito control in one's yard can vary. Some choose professional pest controllers. Some may apply chemicals on their own or through a professional. And some may use integrated pest management methods. Although Kopko advises,
integrated pest management does include chemical methods. So using chemicals does not mean you're not using integrated pest management.
That also doesn't mean there isn't all natural mosquito traps available, whether commercially or homemade. Kopko provides one example.
Basically, you're just like a bucket of water, and you throw some grass clippings or leaf litter in it, and it creates this really appealing egg-laying site for them. And it's got like a one-way door in it. So the female mosquitoes can get in, hoping that they're going to lay eggs, and then they can never get back out. So if that's the kind of mosquito you have, then you can use a completely non-chemical approach that the technology is a bucket with a fancy lid, and you can significantly reduce your mosquito pressure that way.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Serving rural America, online at onthefarmradio.com.
Well, it is certainly no secret as we go into the spring of 2026 that the U.S. agricultural economy is, well, it's not doing so well. As we hear in this report from Chad Smith at American Farm Bureau.
With pressures on the farm economy continuing to add up, a total of 54 food and agriculture groups are urging the Trump administration to act. The American Farm Bureau Federation was one of those groups, and Director of Government Affairs Brian Glenn said a letter sent to the White House outlined the factors causing stress in rural America.
Severe weather, high expenses, and global uncertainty are hitting farmers from all sides right now. The recent closure of the Strait of Hormuz and its impact on fertilizer and fuel prices only worsened the financial strain farmers face, and it poses significant consequences for the food supply chain in America and around the world.
As the administration considers a supplemental defense spending bill, the American Farm Bureau and 53 other organizations want funds included for market relief relief for farmers.
This relief should build on the $11 billion Farmer Bridge Assistance Program payments for row crops and should include meaningful support for all specialty crop, sugar, and alfalfa growers, as well as assistance for farmers and ranchers dealing with catastrophic weather events across the country.
The letter also includes policy suggestions like year-round E15 and tax breaks to encourage domestic consumption of agricultural products. The supplemental defense bill should come up in the next few weeks.
Food security is truly national security, and this should be recognized in this package as well. We will be closely monitoring momentum in Congress as they assemble this package, and farmers should continue to stay engaged and share their voice about the pressure they are under given the severe weather, the high expenses that they're incurring.
You can learn more at FB.org. Chad Smith, Washington.
Uphill, downhill, through the mud, and through the trees, ATVs can take you on an adventure. But before you do anything on an ATV, take knowledge to the extreme. Know the basics. Take a training course. Wear a helmet. Don't ride on paved roads. And don't ride tandem. That's knowledge you can take anywhere an ATV takes you. For more information, log on today to atvsafety.gov.
Well, earlier in the program, we talked about the fact that mosquito season is just a few weeks away, but grilling season, it's here now.
Spring is here, and grilling season for many is not too far behind. That means more consumer demand for meat. And in the case of livestock analysts like USDA's Michael McConnell, seeing how that translates to activity in cattle feedlots.
That's typically when we see marketings and slaughter rates begin to increase. That's something to look forward to as we begin to track the pace of slaughter as we head into the grilling season.
USDA's March Cattle on Feed report shows inventory in feedlots is slightly lower than the same time last year. Yet McConnell points out,
due to the fact that our marketings have been down and placements have been lower, one of the implications that have is that more of the cattle that are in feedlots now are tilted more towards animals that have been on feed for more than 150 days. So a lot more animals that are market ready in those feedlots right now. So as we come up to that seasonal period where beef comes in higher demand, there will be a fair number of cattle in those feedlots that are ready to come out and be marketed and processed into beef to satisfy the grilling season demand.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Oh, we would like to take just a moment this weekend and give a big shout out to the sponsors of this program. Of course, without our sponsors, this program wouldn't be possible. Farm Credit has been on board as a sponsor since day one back in 2003. Also, Feedworks USA. And we're going to welcome a new sponsor to the program, the American Forestry Foundation. Our pearl of wisdom today tells us that the early bird may get the worm, but it's the second mouse that always gets the cheese. That's your pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm Ish.